If you have a business, you need a website. What's the best way to get a website up and running? Choose a website hosting company that makes it simple, like Pear Networks. Pear has over 20 years of experience managing the entire digital ecosystem for thousands of online businesses all around the world. Pear makes it easy for you with do-it-yourself website building tools and features, including simple drag and drop page design. And they have guaranteed US-based support technicians ready to help you whenever you need it, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. Right now, when you sign up with Pear Networks, you'll receive 1 free month of web hosting. See for yourself how easy it is to build your website for free. Visit pear.com/free to get your first month of website hosting for free by using the code QUICKSTART. That's pear.com/free, promo code QUICKSTART, to get started today.
A missing person is a person who has vanished and is unconfirmed as alive or dead, as their location and fate are unknown.
This episode contains some disturbing content. Please be advised.
Hey everyone, welcome back to Down the Rabbit Holes podcast. I'm Melissa.
And I'm Amy. And I was just telling Melissa about what I consider a journey to come up with the case that we have today, because I had a couple of things that I started writing up, actually completed. And I was like, I just need more time to get more information because there has to be some. They're too short to sum up in the fashion that we like to do them. And then I went over to my request list, and this was, and I worked from the bottom up. And this was one of the last ones on the list. And I was like, oh, this is perfect.
Can we shout out Caitlin right now? I want you guys to know that Caitlin took all of your requests since the beginning of time, organized them in a spreadsheet with the Charlie Project information, with age, sex, ethnicity, location, all of the biographical details, and if there's an update in the case, put it in the spreadsheet. So Amy and I literally can just look at the spreadsheet and go, oh, okay, that one.
Absolutely. And best yet, she was like, okay, done. What next? Like it was nothing.
Yeah.
So yes. We're appreciative, and we want you guys to know that, you know, in all of the ways that we usually do, plus one now, we're all really just trying to bring the best forward that we can.
For sure.
So, with that being said, I, as you know, got this list off of our request list, but I will have you know that this is not the first time I've heard of it, and this is not the first time that people have asked us or me to do it. In my own personal life, I had people
I was going to say the same thing.
Ask me to do this case, and I will say this. You might not recognize the name right off the bat, but people have said it to me like this. Have you guys ever done those three kids in Australia that went missing? Or you know about those three kids that disappeared from the beach a really long time ago? If those alarm bells went off in your head and you were like, just in this moment, I know exactly who you're talking about. I know the case for today. That's because that is the way that the case is known. I don't know if you agree with that, Melissa.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm going to tell you who they are, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this case. You ready to dive on in?
I am.
All right, then. The case I'm going to tell you about today is the case of the Beaumont children. Jim and Nancy Beaumont were married in 1955. They very soon started their family, within a year, and they gave birth to Jane followed by Erna, and finally Grant. They settled in the suburbs of Adelaide, located in South Australia. The family was happy, and the family generally did well for themselves. Now, I'm going to tell you right now that's kind of an assumption, and that's not for fact. This is just the way that it's been portrayed, that there was never anything really askew or alarming that went on in their life. So otherwise, pretty typical. Jane, their oldest, is described as very responsible, smart, and fairly shy. Jane, at age 9, was often tasked with watching her younger siblings. Erna was 7, and Grant was 4. Jane had successfully watched her siblings before, and she fairly frequently did this. I know what you're thinking, guys, especially younger people. Like, why is a 9-year-old watching their siblings? I mean, my 9-year-old...
What year is it?
This is in the 1955 to 1966
That's
era.
Why.
Yeah, I get it. I 100% get it. It is not acceptable to do that nowadays. I don't know that I would allow my child to even watch animals alone. because they would just run away, pretty much. But this was typical of the era. Very typical. Everyone did this without thinking. On January 25th of 1966, Jim dropped his kids off at Glenelg Beach. It wasn't far away, but it was a heat wave, so he didn't want them to walk. Now, again, please keep in mind, this is a different era. This isn't even cultural. This is the way that it was in America, seemingly the way that it was in Australia. Was this way other parts of the world? And arguably, it still is this way in particular countries. Also, you heard the word heat wave. I don't want to assume that most of you know this, so I won't. This is January. Yes, you heard that right, heat wave. And I'm not talking about North American heat wave of like 55 in December in the Northeast. This is swap seasons because they are on the southern hemisphere of the earth. So they experience their summer months when we're experiencing our winter months. So picture July, August in America, sweltering hot. Well, that is their July, August in January. Hope I cleared that up for you. So Glenelg Beach was a pretty populous destination. There was a lot to do. A lot of people visited here. It was a heat wave, so obviously people want to cool off at the beach. I don't know what beach to compare this to in America, but typically like big touristy places down at the beach along the shore, the shoreline, has restaurants, arcades, ice cream, candy, like anything that you could think of that's entertaining, plus just the beautiful beach and people populating there to cool off. Yeah, that's exactly what this is. This area was considered safe and fun. Jim then headed on a brief trip for work. The kids successfully made it home that day, and it was just like any other typical day. The next day, January 26th, the kids asked to go to the beach again. Nancy stated that they could, but they needed to be home by noon. The children would take the bus to and from, and they were given enough money, or Jane was given enough money, rather, to cover their brief trip. The children said goodbye to their mother, and they got on the 8:45 a.m. bus. At noon, Nancy awaited her children's return from the beach on the scheduled bus for noon, but they did not return. Nancy was slightly concerned, but since there was a 2 o'clock bus, she figured that they would arrive on that one. Now, I picture a mom kind of being maybe annoyed, like they were supposed to be here, but also maybe they missed the bus. I'm a little bit concerned that they weren't being mindful of time, but not to the level of concerned, worried for their safety. 2 o'clock came and passed, and the children did not arrive home. Now, this is when it did become a little bit concerning. Luckily, for lack of better words, Jim arrived home at 3. So after two, she's stewing for probably an hour before Jim walks through the door. Now, Nancy caught Jim up on what happened, so I imagine she kind of just said to him, the kids went to the beach this morning. They left at 8:45. I told them to be home by noon, and they weren't. I waited for the 2 o'clock bus. They didn't come, and now I'm worried. So Jim decided to hop into his car and go to the beach and search for himself, which is probably what I would do too. Jim unfortunately did not find the children at the beach, and later in the afternoon to the early evening, Jim and Nancy decided to call the authorities to report their kids missing. Police wasted no time searching, and I'm so glad because this is in an era especially, and nothing has really changed, so I don't know why I even say that, but they want 24 hours missing, 48 hours missing, 72 hours missing before so. But arguably, even at 9, they might give some excuse like, oh, I'm sure they got caught up in playing or maybe even running away. Regardless, I'm glad that they didn't say any of those things and they got right to it in searching for the kids. At first, it seems like everyone thought the kids got lost or there was an accident. So they literally searched every nook and cranny they possibly could.
Yeah, but these are kids.
They found nothing, as you can imagine. Within days, though, it quickly turned into a fear that they were kidnapped and that it could be a sex crime. Right off the bat, I mean, that tells me a lot about the community that they live in. That the first 2 or so days, maybe 3 days, people thought this was an accident or they were lost or something like that. Like, it didn't even dawn on the community that this could be anything more than that. This didn't happen there. The first lead that the police or the authorities got, however, was a woman who thought she saw the kids playing at the marina. She describes even speaking to them briefly. This marina was actually pretty close to the beach, so it kind of made sense. Authorities took this very seriously, and they actually drained the marina, but they found nothing. The children actually had several items on them. Some articles said the total was about 17 different items on them, but they found nothing. So they felt pretty confident that they hadn't gone into the marina or the water at the marina, because even if they did not find the children, they figured they'd find at least one item. And more to the point, I think that in their searches around the beach and around the area surrounding the beach, it was also notable that they didn't find any of the items. Like, say, did they go in the water? They would have left their stuff on the beach and police would have found it and been able to have at least some other direction to go in other than basically the nowhere, which is where they're at.
Wow.
This case blew up pretty fast. And it seemed like all of Australia pretty much knew within a couple of days about this case. Due to this, many people came forward with leads, and police were able to come up with a rough and somewhat credible timeline. And at the time, I'm sure it was a really great timeline, but now our expectations are, where's the camera footage? Where is the cell phone trail? Where are the pings on the cell phone towers? And the witnesses, of course. So when I say it is a somewhat credible lead, that is probably a little bit biased of myself because they didn't have the resources that we do. Police reported that several witnesses spotted the kids at Kali, and I hope I'm saying that right, so my apologies, at Kali Reserve near the beach. To me, this seems like an area that's relatively close, but kind of like a green, and that they were playing there, and there was a man nearby who appeared to be watching the kids play. He seemed familiar with them, and them him. Everyone seemed really relaxed. The man was described as in his mid-20s to 30s. He was tan. He was wearing some type of bluish with maybe white striped swim trunks. A witness said she even spoke with the man when he approached him or her asking about, did someone mess with our stuff while we were playing around because I'm missing money? Then eventually, all of them left together around the 12 o'clock hour. And they seemed to be heading away from the beach. Now, this was very bizarre when Jim and Nancy heard this, because Jane is described as very shy. They didn't feel as if it was in Jane's character to talk to anyone like that that she didn't know. So they speculated that perhaps this is someone that they had been familiar with before, that they had talked to before, maybe on a previous trip to the beach, because there's just no way Jane would be like that with somebody that she didn't know. And then it occurred to Nancy, a conversation that she had with Arna, very close to the time of the disappearance of the children, that she didn't really think of until this point. And Arna had mentioned that Jane had a boyfriend down at the beach. But like Nancy, I mean, I think I would have thought, just like her, that she's talking about someone her age, that it's just a childhood crush type of thing, and it's nothing to be taken seriously. Like, your first thought when one of your children talks about your other children having a boyfriend isn't typically impulsively to think, oh, it's like some creepy, pedophilic 30-year-old man. That was nothing. It passed. It was like a very quickly forgotten about conversation. Another sighting was at a local bakery. The children were seen buying pasties and a meat pie.
What?
Now, this was odd when it got back to Nancy, because she had not given Jane enough money to cover this. Another reason that it seemed like a credible witness coming forward was that, A, they remembered the amount of how much they paid. They had also seen the children previously at the bakery when they had come in with their mother, so they were familiar. And also, they came in as three, whereas it might be a little bit more difficult to accurately remember one child as opposed to another. But when they come in as three, it's easier to remember a group of children coming in together to buy something like that. The children were alone, and they got whatever it was that they had, and they ended up leaving. Other sightings include a postal worker, and he was credible, or known as credible, but originally he said he spotted them around 3 o'clock on foot, holding hands, not near the beach, but probably walking towards home. A little while later, he came forward and said he misremembered, and that it wasn't actually 3 in the afternoon, it was in the morning that he saw them. So while credible,
that's a pretty big change.
It is a big change, but I suppose thinking about the monotonous work that this postal worker does day in and day out, it might have been very easy for him to just think that he saw them in the afternoon and then remembered, nope, it was in the morning. Another woman reported seeing the children in the afternoon, but that's really all there was to that. And months later, don't ask me why. You can ask me why, but I won't know the answer. Another woman reported seeing the children entering an abandoned house near where she lived. At some point, she saw a boy walking alone around the property, not too far, and then hastily caught up to by a man and grabbed and brought back into the house. Pretty shortly after this incident, the house was deserted yet again, and those children were never seen again, or neither was the man. Now, don't know why it took months to say that. I just don't. But it did. So those are the main leads that you'll read about that police had to go on. The sightings that they saw. Now, I will say that the 50 to 60-ish years since they've been missing or so, there have probably been thousands of witness sightings. And many leads, but I am telling you about the most notorious or the most publicized ones, right? Where does that leave us? I'm not going to lie to you. I won't beat around the bush. There are two main theories, in my opinion. I will say we could talk about these children leaving or something like that, because 9-year-olds are smart, but that's not really one that anyone talks about ever. So if you want me to throw that in there, fine, but...
Yeah, I mean, no. Because the odds of her, the 9-year-old, packing up her siblings and leaving, I don't see as likely.
The only way I could see that being plausible is if this is like an Aisha degree thing, and I'll get into it in a moment. Let me just tell you what the two main theories are. So, really, did these kids have some type of accident? All three of them, and something tragic happened that very day, and that is it. And we just have not recovered their bodies. Or have they been kidnapped and or were they kidnapped and or murdered and sexually assaulted or something to that degree? Now, when we talk about each theory, there are several sub-theories. But let's just start off with an accident, because I think that that's a little bit easier to talk about than the several sub-theories that we have under abduction.
Okay, no.
Okay, no. So you feel very certain about that. Why is that?
Because there's no way that all three of them had an accident unless they all got into, like, a boat or went out swimming together. Like, the odds of all three of them, like, drowning or something happening to them is not very good.
I agree with you. And I really tried to think of some scenarios, which I think are plausible, but not really likely, where all three of them would succumb to something at the same time.
Right.
So one of my thoughts was, were they playing in the ocean and, say, a boat is speeding by them and hits three of them at once because they're all in the same vicinity of each other?
Yeah, but you have to assume a boat doesn't see that?
I mean, I'm saying they could be inebriated. They could have been not paying attention. People have boating accidents all the time. However, I will say that that doesn't explain why not a single item of theirs was found. So while I think that could happen,
yep, you're
where's
right.
Their things?
If they were all in the water, they would have left their things on the beach.
I mean, I've heard that they had things like a backpack, right? And I can't see any child that has ever, even without thinking, worn their backpack into the ocean.
No, I agree with that statement.
I kind of doubt that. And then I thought about, well, what if one or two of them had gone in, one or two of the younger ones? So then I thought to myself, what if the two younger ones went into the water and they start struggling? So Jane runs in to try and save them and there's an undertow and they get pulled under. Okay, plausible again.
Same thing. Where are their things?
Same thing. And especially if you're running an emergency, you're not grabbing your stuff and putting on a backpack to go into the water.
And you have to assume someone would see that.
That is all. Well, not exactly. I mean, drownings happen all the time because people aren't aware.
Yes, but a child running?
Kids are running on the beach all the time.
Know. Sure.
Even if that's true, where's their things?
Right.
Then I'm thinking to myself, okay, so what if they get lost and they have heat stroke or dehydration because this is a heat wave?
Again, there's three of them. They didn't just wander off.
Even if they had wandered off after however many years, you don't think we'd find a single item of theirs? Not their remains? Because I think we would have found something.
I agree. So keep going. What are my other options?
So I'm just kind of trying to drive home the point that I've seriously considered any scenario where these kids could have been playing, could have gotten lost, could have ended up in the water, could have ended up hit by a boat. And none of it really takes care of, for me, how nothing has ever been found of theirs, aside from remains.
Right. I agree with that.
No, said aside from remains.
Oh, I just had a small heart attack. I was like, wait a second, this is a regular episode, not Patreon.
Right.
What are we doing?
I really feel like I exhausted that, and I really tried to see that out, but I can't explain away those things. I don't know how you feel or if there's some scenario you can dream up that would explain all of that.
No, I mean, other than kidnapping. And it can't be a strange, well, I mean, yes, it's probably a stranger abduction, but not in the way we normally think stranger abduction, because I think the kids went with him willingly.
Well, you led us right into our next theory, which is abduction / is it murder? Is it some type of sex crime or something like that, et cetera, et cetera. This is the leading theory over any accident. You'll really only hear about these children probably being abducted. There is a long list of suspects, and I'm not going to talk about every single one.
What? How is there a long list of suspects?
I will tell you in a moment. But before I actually dive into that, I will tell you a little bit about what came to be following this very publicized disappearance. Now, as you can imagine, hoaxes came about, psychics came about, and one of the most popular psychic stories that came of this was a man from Europe, I believe it was Germany, don't quote me on that, stated that he had some special psychic ability. And if you're asking me to be honest and completely biased, I will be in this moment, and I own that. But this guy played on the emotions of desperate parents who lost 3 children. And he came all the way to Australia, and he basically said, I know exactly where they are. Their bodies are under the concrete of this old factory, or something to that effect. I might have that a little bit wrong. I just thought it was completely bogus. And they were hesitant about, the owners were hesitant about digging this place up. But if they're like me, I'm like, what if? Like, what if I'm wrong? They let this guy dig up where he said the bodies were, and they found nothing. And nothing came of that, except this guy got a lot of publicity, and he preyed on the emotions of desperate parents. Then there was at least one, but I think several letters from what they thought was Jane writing to them. And the parents were told that he basically had taken the children and was taking over guardianship and raising them as his own. But if the parents wanted him back, they could meet somewhere and do the exchange. The parents went with a private investigator. The person never showed up.
Obviously.
Now, letters were examined at the time, and they were thought to be a very close resemblance to Jean's writing. They thought they might be authentic. However, in the 2000s, we have learned with additional technology and more knowledge that these weren't, in fact, from Jean. Letters were able to be fingerprinted, and they were traced back to someone who was 16 at the time writing hoax letters. He was not charged with the crime because it had been too long after the fact. So lots of disappointing leads, and these, unfortunately, are not familiar scenarios when there's a very publicized case. Like I said, there are lots of suspects, and I'm not going to tell you about each one, and spoiler alert again, the reason why is because a lot of the people that you read about that are considered suspects are really no more than people in the community that have some sort of criminal record or are known to the community as creepy or having an affinity towards children. Coincidence leads them to believe that these could be possible suspects. And online, you'll see several of them listed by name, but I don't necessarily feel like I'm going to go through each name and tell you, oh, this guy was arrested 20 years before for luring a 13-year-old boy.
Are there any that are better than others?
So what I really took from it all is there came to be two suspects that are probably the most credible, if you will. So we have number one, Bevan or Bevan Spencer von Einem. And the reason he came to light was because, generally speaking, there was an informant who said that he confessed to taking the children and doing experiments on them. And
what?
Yeah. Very bizarre. And one eventually ended up dying, so he decided that he had to kill the other children. He had also been sentenced for previously murdering a 15-year-old boy, and he just had a lot of characteristics or behaviors that said that he would be capable of doing something like this. Now, it was taken seriously because the informant was credible, but eventually they really couldn't tie him to the disappearance of the Beaumont children. The probably more popular leading suspect in the crime was Arthur Stanley Brown, and he was actually charged with the killing of two young girls, and their bodies were found and recovered, and he went to prison for this crime. He did eventually die in 2002, and I'll tell you that he never really was formally charged with anything with the Beaumont children, but people feel as if he could have done that, and the girls that he did kill were in the same area, that he is the most plausible suspect. So another thing is, there was a sketch that was thought to be pretty authentic of what witnesses described as the person, and he did not fit the sketch. He was actually a great deal older than the description of the mid-20s to mid-30s description that was given at the time. This, over the years, is the best that the police have been able to come up with, and I'm not knocking the police. This is a difficult crime at all. They were given impossible circumstances, and it seems to me like they did their best. But inevitably, this is all that they came up with at the end of the day. Outside of this, they had no further connection between anyone and the children that day. I mean, anyone that they came up with really can't be corroborated by several people that he or any of these suspects were with the children that day. Maybe they had been seen in the community around the time or thought to be in the community, but no one can safely say, like, we saw this person with these children on that day. And for what it's worth, not even exactly what time.
And no one identified the guy on the beach with them?
No. I mean, they gave the description and everything, but no one correctly identified him. And as of today, well, the children's parents eventually divorced. I imagine this was too much for them. Maybe that's an assumption. I'm not really sure. And they all lived till old age. Just 2 years ago, I believe, Nancy had passed. And I actually believe that Jim is still alive. Till this day. He's in his 90s, but he's still alive.
I mean, I think that the fact that the middle daughter said that the older daughter had a boyfriend at the beach, and then there was also a man with them that they seemed comfortable with.
Mm-hmm.
I think that has to tell us that he lightly took them.
I agree with you, because that would be kind of grooming behavior.
Yes.
This guy wanted them to feel comfortable to walk away, so he's going to create a relationship with them. He's going to be kind. He's not going to be the scary guy that most kids pre-1990 were told to watch for, right? And I believe he probably was easily able to just walk away with the children. Now, there's some things out there. I didn't read it in every article, so. And there wasn't more detail besides, oh, I wonder if they were kidnapped and they ended up in some type of cult. Like, I don't know where it came from. I don't know what the basis of that is. I don't know anything about active cults in Australia or surrounding Australia. So that wasn't really something I went into because I just don't know where it came from. But I will say that they could have been kidnapped for that purpose. But to me, I don't know that it's more complicated than someone saw an opportunity. Someone knew that they had a relationship with the children and that Arna and Grant would follow Jane wherever. So all he had to do was really gain Jane's trust.
And my guess is he was probably like, oh, do you want to get something to eat? Here's money. They went, and then he was like, oh, it's too hot. I'll give you a ride back. And once they're in his car, it's over.
You bet. Now, what his intentions and purpose were, I think that's way harder to speculate if you don't even have someone to speculate, you know?
Right. I agree with you there. I don't know what he would have wanted with them, but that's sort of where I think they were kidnapped and likely groomed to be kidnapped.
I don't think that they lived long after. I think they are deceased.
Really?
I do. I mean, with a 7-year-old and a 4-year-old, you possibly could brainwash them. They might not remember their parents, maybe. But you really risk that with a 9-year-old having the wherewithal to kind of know, like, this isn't my home, these aren't my parents, this isn't right.
Disagree, because they still think Aisha Degree is alive and she was 9.
That, yes, you're...
But...
You're right.
Here's the thing, Amy.
You're right.
If it was... hold on. But here's the thing. If it was a sexually motivated kidnapping target of Jane, why take the other two if you're just going to dispose of them? And I know that sounds very crass, but...
I would think that... I understand, but I think that if you're a pedophile and you see 3, you're happy to take 3. Without even... I don't even want to go down the avenue of imagining any of that, but yes.
Yeah. Okay, I'm with you. But I think I do land on it has to be kidnapping, and it was likely planned by this person over time.
Right.
It wasn't like I'm going to snatch and grab them.
And I think that's kind of like where there's a match between this case and Aisha Degree, because I think that both had been groomed for a while to feel like...
I agree.
Yes, it's good, it's safe, you're fine, come see me.
And that's probably why they wanted to go back to the beach the next day, too.
Exactly. Exactly my thought. I have to wonder, though, if this guy was so bold to say, don't tell your mother about me.
Probably.
It's horrifying and horrifying to know that these two people went the rest of their lives, pretty much. I mean...
And, I mean, they didn't just lose a child. They lost all of their children.
Right. And this case receives so much popularity because, A, it was safe. Like, things like this didn't happen. I don't know their rates today, but it just didn't. People felt safe doing this all the time, and it changed after this case.
People felt safe sending their child to the beach by themselves. I mean, that speaks volumes.
People kept their kids close after this.
I can imagine. You want to open it up?
Yeah, absolutely. Do you guys think this was an accident? Do you think they were abducted? If you have any reason at all or know more information than I do about why people think maybe a cult or something else, let us know. I'm genuinely curious. And
yeah,
for you,
please share with
for
us.
You guys that request these cases, I especially always want to hear from you. Because I know if you want us to cover it, you already have thoughts. Right?
Yes. So please tell us your thoughts, and then we'll be back next week with a whole new case.
All right. Thanks. Bye.
Bye.
For For more information about this case and other cases we've covered, visit our website at www.downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Follow us and interact with us on social media. On Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, we are Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast. You can also reach out to us via email at theories@downtherabbitholespodcast.com.
Down the Rabbit Holes Podcast is a 2002 production written, hosted, and developed by Amy Lamar and Melissa Benitez. Music by Kevin Wyman.
Audio production by Caitlin Reynolds.